From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
To the program, the Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you're here. Thanks for hanging out with us, and certainly appreciate it. Got my buddy Elmo hanging with me. I had to go downstairs during the commercial break, top of the hour break. I'm laying down there with my buddy Mickey. Mickey has been sick. Man, he's been sick. He ate something. I think he got into some nastiness outside and has been sick the last 24 hours. About 18 hours, maybe. Not 24 quite, but just not feeling well. Downstairs right now, finally just kind of resting and taking it easy, but he's been really sick. Got sick all over the house last night. Spent my whole night steam cleaning carpets and running around looking for ground beef so I could make him some bland ground beef and brown rice and such to settle his stomach. And he's been bad. He's been really, really sick. So anyway, hope he's feeling better. Hope he gets better real soon, because he's not eating. He's not. And my buddy Mickey, man, he's a machine. That dog can eat everything. And I think that's what happened. I think he ate something. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. You want to chime in? Feel free to go ahead and do so again. 855-830-8648. Tom Brady. I do want to get to this because Tom Brady spoke. Now, Tom Brady, how do I put this? He is kind of the ultimate when it comes to being presidential-esque in what he did and didn't talk about and will not say. And I guess the best way I can put it is he's not going to badmouth the organization. That's not going to happen. So Tom Brady, you know, speaking and telling, and we're going to hear from him coming up momentarily, but, you know, kind of giving his side as to the thanks and appreciation and such, and that'll be, you know, coming up here in just a couple of minutes, so hang in there for that. We're going to hear from Brady. First and foremost, I want to mention our friends at Van Horn Automotive. They bring you this portion of the program. Hey, with many businesses closing, my friends over at Van Horn Automotive Group, they do want you to know that all of their top 10 and top-notch service centers throughout Wisconsin and Iowa, they're staying open. They're going to remain open because they know keeping your vehicle safe and running smoothly is essential. They also realize that saving you money and value right now, it's more important than ever during these trying times. That's why they're offering a lot of service specials. So if you need service work done to your car, if it's not running right, get it in. But they also offer certain things, like if you were looking to get some jobs done while you have some of this downtime on your hands, don't forget, they offer service specials like three tires. You buy three, you get the fourth one for a buck. Free battery inspection. If it needs to be replaced, you can save $20 off the new battery and installation. They're giving you $10 off right now on oil filter and change. Along with it. So don't delay. If you got brakes, they got a great value right now with front and rear brake specials, saving $20 per axle. You can check out a lot of the great service specials right now and a whole lot more over at VanHornAuto.com. That's VanHornAuto.com. And then there's a tab at the top, said special tab, and check that. And speaking of online, if you were still thinking about buying a new or used truck or vehicle, you can do that online completely. And there's a lot of different specials and ways to save you money and not make payments right now and such. And they're really trying to, not only are they trying to stay afloat and do their thing, but if you do have certain needs, they're trying to do it the best they can so you don't have to have a lot of the social distancing worries and such. And you can do a lot of this stuff right online and make appointments and take care of you. So don't forget, go to VanHornAuto.com. That's VanHornAuto.com. They're family-born and employee-owned, and they're doing the best to take care of you. So don't forget our friends over there at Van Horn Auto. Tom Brady. So basically, he did a conference call, and he's saying, first and foremost, here in Tampa Bay, the Bruce Arians offense, it's great, and it's got a lot of good players at a lot of good positions.
Playing quarterback for a long time, you know, that's what I do, is I watch film and I study, and you know, I try to learn, I try to grow, I try to evolve every year. You know, I've watched this offense over a long period of time with a lot of different quarterbacks, have a lot of success, and it's a great offense for the quarterbacks, it's a great offense for the receivers, for the tight ends, for the running backs. It's been a lot of great players who have been a part of, you know, working with Coach Arians.
In addition to that, he talks about moving forward with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Where I've been, I've learned a great deal, and you know, as I move forward, I said the other day, no one cares what you've done in the past. They don't care what you did last year or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And, you know, I think hopefully the knowledge, you know, I've had in my experience playing quarterback, you know, will allow me to, you know, transition quickly. There's a lot of things I got to get up to speed on. Obviously learning different terminology, and, you know, that's a unique challenge that I haven't faced, but it's one that I'm looking forward to also. So, you know, I'm not going to make, you know, a bunch of predictions to where I've been. You know, this is, I go in with, you know, looking forward to the opportunity to learn from the new coaches and the new players that I'll be playing with, and I'm going to go out and give everything I got.
And Tom Brady also was asked about, you know, growing up, you had some of those quarterbacking idols when you were a kid, and, you know, you talk about some of the quarterbacking idols, such as when he was a 49ers fan, watching Joe Montana go from the 49ers to the Kansas City Chiefs. He talks about life changes as well.
I was at Joe's last game at Candlestick Park. I actually went up there and saw it with my friend, and I'll never forget that. So he was an incredible player. He and Steve Young were my quarterback idols growing up. You know, I just think life, it continues to change for all of us, and, you know, just having the opportunity for me to continue to play football and, you know, lead a team is something that, you know, I love doing.
He also was asked about what, you know, everybody's trying to get something out of him. Give us something to latch on to as we in the media. In the meantime, he talked about Robert Kraft and the comments towards Brady leaving the Patriots.
I'm not responsible for, you know, how other people, you know, will say certain things. I think Mr. Kraft has, you know, been a great influence in my life, and I'm so grateful for, you know, 2 decades. And, you know, I referenced that the other day. It's been an amazing thing for my family, and I'm sure when I'm done playing, I'll look back and have a chance to really reevaluate, you know, my entire career. But, you know, at the same time, I'm excited for, you know, this opportunity that I have. And, you know, I can only speak to how I feel.
He got into the discussion when he was asked specifically, when you thought about leaving the Patriots, what was it, or when did you specifically decide that it's time to go?
It was really, you know, the night that I had stopped by and spoke with Mr. Kraft and asked if I could come over and see him. And we spoke and we had a great conversation, you know, and I just wanted to express, you know, what he's meant to me in my life. And we spoke with Coach Belichick at the same time. We were at different locations, so we talked to him, and it was a great conversation. And got a chance to talk to Jonathan Kraft as well. And, you know, all three of those guys have been involved in so many important decisions in my life, but career-related, personal-related.
I do like the fact that he talks about Belichick. Now, Belichick obviously wasn't there, but he talks about Coach Belichick in a couple of different mentions. Hey, he doesn't say Bill. Do you notice, I mean, the level of I want to say respect. I think it is anyway. Maybe I'm reading too much into this, but he still calls him Coach Belichick. It's not like, hey, Bill and me, you know, or Bill and I, or what, you know. It's none of that. It's, you know, Coach Belichick and what he's done to me. But he does talk about it. It's an emotional transition away from the New England Patriots organization.
You know, the transition, I would say, is very emotional with a lot of guys that I've talked to that I've shared the field with, because, you know, the relationships are what matter most to me. You know, I'm going to be friends with my teammates, my former teammates and coaches for the rest of my life. And that's not going to leave just because I'm wearing a different jersey.
Then he also discusses, hey, I had options, but Tampa Bay is where he wanted to go.
There are a lot of things that really were, you know, intriguing to me about the organization and, you know, the players and the coaches and, you know, the willingness of everyone to try to, you know, accomplish what the goal of playing football is, which is to win. You know, I'm going to try to do everything I can in my position and what I'm responsible for to make that happen. And, you know, I've got to trust that everyone else is doing the exact same thing. So in that part, it's no different from, you know, what I've experienced, you know, for 20 years in my own role.
He discusses leaving New England. Now, the one thing he kept being asked was, why leave New England? Why do you not want to stay there? New England, did they not offer you enough? You know, why did you make, you know, the decision to leave? He just takes it in a completely different direction and just talks about the admiration he has for the Patriots.
I leave there with just great admiration for the people in that organization, and it's a world-class, first-class organization in every way, and I wanted to leave it that way too. So I know the Patriots have a great team. They always do. They have great players, great leadership, great coaches. You know, I certainly wish them the best.
And then he talks about the unique circumstance because, you know, I mean, this is Tom Brady has basically played on just an above rookie contract for almost his entire career. He hasn't made nearly the amount of money that he could have made on the open market years and years ago. And he talks about the unique circumstances this offseason.
The important part is everyone's trying to make it work. And everyone's trying to figure out how to adjust and adapt to some new realities that we're all facing. You know, there's aspects of our offseason that have changed, and I'm sure will change to a degree, but that doesn't stop me from figuring out what I've got to do in my professional life to try to still, you know, learn the things I need to learn and train the way I need to train. You know, because as far as I know, you know, there's nothing that's, you know, delayed the start of our season at this point. And, you know, I've got to do everything I can to be prepared as I would in a offseason where we weren't dealing with what we're dealing with.
And as he had mentioned, this offseason, it's, you know, when you come into a new organization as a free agent, the first thing you want to do is get with your guys. The first thing you want to do is get with your coach. You want to get into the facility. You want to start learning things. You want to know everything from what offense you're going to run to where you're going to go to the cafeteria and how you get there. So you start getting into a routine. And Brady's like, look, you know, I got a lot of ground to make up here working with these new guys.
There's a lot of ground to make up because, you know, I haven't worked with, you know, these players, and I'm going to have to learn what they do and their body language and how they like things. And, you know, that's part of the challenge. And, you know, it's unfortunate we're going through in our world. It presents different challenges for all of us. So, again, as soon as we have the opportunity to all be together in one place and we can really start working toward that.
So that's Tom Brady in his, well, I want to say press conference, but really in his conference call yesterday with the media and his first one as a Tampa Bay Buccaneers. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the Green Bay Packers. They signed Devin Funchess, the wide receiver from the Carolina Panthers and then the Indianapolis Colts last season. He is now going to be a Green Bay Packer. Nothing official yet, but that should be merely a formality at this point, but he's coming into the Packers organization. We'll talk about that. And then after the bottom of the hour, Mick Mixon, the voice of the Carolina Panthers, is going to be joining us. We'll talk with him about Funchess and specifically about life after Cam, life after Ron Rivera, the changes going on down in Carolina, and for that team's place in the NFC. That is coming up as well. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show. We continue on, brought to you by our great friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. And appreciate you taking a listen to us. And like we said before, we just hope to get everybody through this together. We're all in it together. So just trying to do our best. And hopefully you are as well. Keep you safe, keep you informed, keep you educated, hopefully keep you happy, that type of thing. Devin Funchess, the former wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers, he went to the Indianapolis Colts last season. A couple of games in, broke his collarbone, went on the IR after that. His best season came in 2017, caught 63 passes, 840 yards, had 8 touchdowns. He becomes the Packers' third offseason acquisition when it comes to free agency. Big bodies, 6'4", 225, and moves pretty well. Was drafted as that big body wide receiver, but he played a tight end in college. So he can play inside, he can play outside, he's versatile. You look at the guy, he's kind of a physical specimen. So you're hoping that when he comes into the organization, that for those of you that believe Aaron Rodgers makes guys better, that you're going to make him better. He's still relatively young as well. So what do you think of the Funchess signing? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Again, 855-830-8648. Do you think it's a good signing? You know, do you think it's a good signing? Do you think it's not? Give us a shout. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. And what does Funchess do for the organization, do you feel? Do you think there's a do you think that there's a veteran experience that is going to be a good counter to what Davante Adams has to offer? I think it, I look at it this way, that if teams do not respect Funchess, he's going to have the opportunity between him and Aaron Rodgers together, that combination, to make them pay and make them wake up and say, okay, look, if you're still going to just go out and double-team Davante and we have a new wide receiver or two, or Equanimeous St. Brown takes that next step after coming back from injury last year, whatever, and you've got that weapon over there, you've got that veteran over there, maybe then they say, okay, look, Davante doesn't have to be the man. We'll go in a different direction until teams begin to respect that side of the field, and then we'll go ahead and start throwing back to Davante once they kind of spread things out. I really think it's up to Matt LaFleur. I think it's up to play calling. I think it's up to recognition from Aaron Rodgers not to focus just on Davante Adams, but to then spread the ball around and hopefully pull the trigger and get a guy like Funchess, a veteran wide receiver, open, or bring him out of the slot. Match him up against linebackers, but put him where he's probably more suited. You know, you put him in the slot, you run him across the middle, big body, guy that played tight end, knows how to take a hit, that type of thing. What does he add to the Green Bay Packers in your opinion? 855-830-8648. Again, 855-830-8648. Armbruster writes in the Wendy's email inbox and says, I think it's a solid move. It's a low-risk move by Gutekunst, who has proven that he can take a low-risk opportunity and turn it into something if he has the right coaching and the right people around him. This isn't going to be the big-time counterbalance to Davante Adams, then he has in parentheses, whoever the new wide receiver is in the draft will be. But this is a good move to help out the slot, as I had mentioned, the slot receivers over the middle, and make the Green Bay Packers respectable. If you have two guys that can get downfield that will also take pressure off the run game, maybe you can pull some of the linebackers out of the box that are moving up to, well, it's not just linebackers. It's usually a corner or a bigger safety coming up to stop the run from Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones had a successful season. I expect the run game to be just as good this year. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Let us hear from you. This one is from Paul. Paul writes in Wendy's email inbox, Funchess is not much of an addition, probably a very, very low-risk, high-reward guy. You like those kind of guys if they pay off, but if they don't, it's just another signing that doesn't really work out for the Green Bay Packers. I would think you're paying him less than like a Martellus Bennett. You know, you're paying him less than a Jimmy Graham. So my assumption is going to be that, and we're going to find out more after the bottom of the hour with Mick Mixon, the voice of the Carolina Panthers, who's going to join us and give us a little bit of a lowdown of what Funchess was before he ended up leaving Carolina. But I really believe that it's low risk, high reward, in the sense that if he gives you anything, and I don't know what the details are of the contract yet, but if he gives you anything, it is a benefit, in my opinion. 855-830-8648. Let's go to Aaron, listening to us in Eau Claire on 105.1, our mighty affiliate there. Aaron, how you doing?
Hey, doing good, Bill. How you doing today?
Doing well. What's up?
Yeah, I think I got to agree with you. This is one of those great low-risk, high-reward prospects. You know, I trust Goody. He's been making some great decisions for the most part. It just really comes down to the numbers. If this is one of those prove-it contracts, I think that this was an excellent snag. Low risk, high reward, like you said, and I'll take your comments off the air. Thanks.
Yeah, I agree in the sense that it's a low risk, high reward. At least you hope it's a high reward. Otherwise, it's low risk, low reward, no harm, no foul. But the Packers don't have a ton of money to go out and spend when they still have to figure out what they're going to do with Kenny Clark. They've got some other guys to resign. They still have some other things to go out and spend money on. most likely in their own backyard, but they have to get that done. And so you don't have $15, $20, $30 million laying around to say, okay, I'm going to go get, you know, one really high-end wide receiver to be the counterbalance to Davante Adams. You're looking for a number two or a number three to come into the organization just to give you some additional stability that can play slot, that can play wide. Then maybe you bring along whoever your new wide receiver is coming out of the draft, or Marquez Valdes-Scantling gets better, Geronimo Allison gets better, Equanimeous St. Brown comes back this coming season, and he is better. You know, you hope that it just becomes an accent piece, and it doesn't have to be the main piece. Your main piece is Davante Adams anyway. Stay tuned. We got a whole lot more of the Bill Michaels Show. We're going to talk with Mick Mixon of the Carolina Panthers, the voice of the Carolina Panthers. We'll find out more about Bunches and about the state of the Panthers coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show. We are on the air, and I've been reminding you as much as you possibly can, support local. We got a lot of great local businesses that support us. Our friends down at Coach's Pub and Grill, they're still open doing the curbside delivery. Don't forget about our friends at Stenny's. They have been doing a terrific job and donating money back to the employees they had to lay off. Our friends out at the Social House, H-A-U-S, out there on Lisbon Road, Curly's Waterfront Pub and Grill, our friends at Pizza Del Rey in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I mean, there's places all over the state. Our friends at Hinterland up in Green Bay. You know, just so many different places that are chiming in right now that are saying, hey, we're open, don't forget about us. And we're not. We're trying to make sure that we try to mention as many as we can. But during this time, do as much local as you possibly can, and remember those good people as well. And if you can, if you can't and you can't afford it and you're off work now too, then hunker down and we're all going to hopefully get through this together. But just if you can, remember those local businesses and keep supporting local. Our buddy Mick Mixon, voice of the Carolina Panthers, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Mick, how you doing?
I'm good. It's great hearing your voice. Do I understand correctly that there's a contest to name the most beloved fan personality? I mean, I would think that would be an open and shut case.
There is, and it's over the...
You're going to win, right?
I don't know. I guess haters make you famous. Maybe that happens. Well, I couldn't tell you, but I know that it's over the 15 years of the local radio station in Milwaukee, yeah, the fan, that they've had a lot of people come and go. So they're doing kind of, we're out without brackets right now. I guess that's the bracket to fill out. So we'll see how it all comes out before it's said and done. Hey, I wanted to ask you, first and foremost, just give me the state of the Carolina Panthers. The signing of Teddy Bridgewater, Ron Rivera is now gone, Cam Newton is now gone. Just give me the state of the Carolina Panthers.
I can best do it this way. My wife and I just bought a 1910 farmhouse, and we were taking it down to the studs, as the general contractor expression goes. The Panthers are doing the exact same thing. So gone are Eric Reed, Gerald McCoy, James Bradberry, Greg Olson, Cam Newton, and some other high Q rating, pretty good football players. The desired outcome is try to just take it down to the studs. That would be Christian McCaffrey and a handful of others, and then build it to last, and build it in a quality way. So that's kind of where we are. The big splashy headline, of course, is the Panthers parting company with Cam Newton. Isn't it hard to believe that we've arrived at this? Seems like 5 minutes ago he was the next big thing.
It is. I mean, to not have Cam Newton in a Carolina Panthers uniform is going to be bizarre. I think Teddy Bridgewater is good. I don't know how good he is going to be. I don't know if he's even going to be able to fill the shoes that Cam Newton is leaving vacant. But you tell me how Cam Newton's ability and talents were they eroding to the point that it was just easy to say it's time to part ways?
Maybe. I mean, but it's hard to tell because he'd not been healthy. I think what we got here is sort of the confluence of two rivers. One is Cam Newton's recent injury history, his throwing mechanics, which have never been optimal, But he's been able to overcome that because of his tremendous physical gifts and his arm strength. And then the Panthers' desire to, as I mentioned, to try to rebuild it and move on. I don't think it's, oh my gosh, you know, we're just sick to death of QB1. Let's break up. He's unbelievable. And when he's right, he is still a pure T handful in this world. So where do you think he's going to end up? Could you see? I mean, you think New England's out of the question for him?
I don't think any place is out of the question for somebody that needs a quarterback. I think what they're going to do is do their due diligence when it comes to the physical, when it comes to looking, having doctors look at him and see how he's actually doing. I mean, if he's physically healthy and ready to go and still has – I mean, the big thing is, Mick, you know, as long as you got your legs as a quarterback, you're golden. It's once the legs leave you, you become a sitting duck and you don't have the mobility and the ability to escape anymore, and that's when things become problematic. I mean, the question would be, do you think he still has his legs?
Well, I think this is football age, which had crept past his chronological age because of the over 1,200 hits that he's taken in his career. But I think now with not that many miles on the chassis these last couple of years. I mean, I think now his football age and his chronological age may be kind of lining back up again. He'll turn 31 in May. He's a vegan. He can do the plank for about the length of your show. Low body fat. Body looks like it was made in some kind of art class, sculpted out of a big old hunk of granite. It's pretty incredible to stand next to him. So I think that he may not have had his legs, but I think that could return. And by any measured analysis at all, by any objective analysis, he's the most exquisitely talented dual-threat quarterback in the history of pro football.
I would agree with in the sense that he took a ton of hits. They used him in a way, and he actually welcomed it. I mean, I think he thrived on, you tell me if I'm off base here, but I think he thrived upon being able to be a quarterback who could run, who could take hits, who could then stand up, do the Superman and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I think he thrived on that. I wondered at the time when I saw him doing that whether or not he was going to eventually take too many hits and he was going to erode his ability. But we'll see. I mean, there's going to be a team out there that's going to take a chance on him and maybe give him a loaded incentive deal that says, hey, you play so many games, you throw so many touchdowns, you do so many things, then you're going to make your money. And I would assume somebody very soon is going to take a chance on Cam Newton, wouldn't you think?
I see it the same way, and I think whoever gets him, Bill, is going to get the very best of what he has to offer because he'll start new. He will be mad at the world. He'll want to prove all the tweeters, the bloggers, the chatters, the Instagrammers, anybody who doubted him wrong. He'll want to fit in. And he's a good guy. I mean, this is one thing. If I could tell you one thing from here in the Carolinas that may not be universally known in Wisconsin and all around the areas where your show is heard, it's that Cam Newton, despite what you may think about his choice of hats or his hairstyle or his fashion sense, it's certainly not for everybody, but he's got a heart for kids, does amazing things in the community. When you hear teammates talk about him, they say, okay, here's a guy that cares. He's not just competitive, he's combative. He wants to win in the most intense, passionate, fire-burned, hot kind of way. So he can fit in. I could see him fitting in just about anywhere, especially in an offense that likes to run that, some of those read options, the RPOs, and take advantage of what he can do physically.
The other side of things, I mean, we're, you know, getting the rumor that the Packers have come to an agreement with Devin Funchess. Now, Funchess last year injured with the Indianapolis Colts, but tell us what the Packers are getting out of Funchess when he indeed suits up and hopefully healthy with that healed-up collarbone.
It's all about matchups, right? Can you, in racing, can you find somebody to draft with? Can you dancing on the dance floor? How good is your dance partner? So I think to talk about Devin Funchess, we have to run that through the filter of who will be throwing him the ball, and the marriage of a long strider like Funchess who can go get the ball. He can just go get it, and Aaron Rodgers, I think is going to be a really nifty addition. Funchess is. Funchess a nice kid. He's not scared to try to be a factor blocking downfield. And when he's, you know, when he's right, he's a matchup problem because he can win that 50-50 ball for you.
Well, that was going to be my next question, because the Packers have not had a guy that Aaron Rodgers trusts enough to do it consistently. Now, obviously, he's got, on the opposite side, he's got Davante Adams. And Davante Adams, he's not a big guy. He's not a big leaper. But he just gets open, and Aaron Rodgers has a trust with him. How quick do you think Funchess earns that trust? He has had some drops in his career, but how quickly do you think he earns that trust of Aaron Rodgers?
I think a lot of that will be up to Devin, and I think that, you know, I would guess that Aaron would be, you know, would want to embrace it and want it to be a good fit. I think Funchess' case, he had some moments when he was a Panther. One game at Detroit where he thrown up that way, he had a ton of ticket requests and he just did not play well. It kind of got in his head a little bit, so. But I see no reason to believe that that's chronic. I think that he could be the kind of guy that can learn from things like that and then develop that psychological hardness born of meeting some adversity. But one thing I don't know, because I don't know Devin, I mean, you think, okay, could he be a good bad weather receiver? And having, you know, played college football where he did, I would think that would not be new for him. It's not like he's coming out of the Florida Panhandle and had never seen bad weather.
I wanted to also ask you about, because they're obviously going to draft a wide receiver. They need another one, and last year that was part of the problem. They had some young guys that just never materialized in their second year, third year in the system. How smart of a football player is he?
I don't know. I think, I mean, he's not smart, but I don't know. I'm not qualified to speak on, you know, what he did on the Wunderlich and you know, can he solve Pascal's triangle and do his own taxes and that kind of thing. But having been around him, he's a good interview. He's got neurons firing. He's a little quiet, but, you know, if you ask him a good question, he would respond with a little window into his psyche and the psyche of the receiver room or of the offense in general. I remember one time there was a sleight of hand magician training camp a couple years ago. Derek Anderson brought a sleight of hand magician in to entertain the people, and he was very, very talented. And I remember Devin Funchess was just, I saw a side of Devin that day at lunch in the cafeteria where we trained that I'd never seen before. I mean, he was beside himself and people sitting next to him. He could not believe that playing cards were coming up through the table, that things were appearing out of thin air. And just to see this childlike enthusiasm for, you know, for an event like that at training camp, it's a memory that I love about Devin, and I'll always have.
Well, it's going to be an interesting season. Life now without Ron Rivera, too. I mean, we didn't even get into that. I mean, you're looking at something schematically different. Teddy Bridgewater coming into the system, and we saw him play pretty well when he had a chance down there in New Orleans. I mean, like you said, they're tearing it down to the studs, but now that you got a whole new coaching staff and everything down there, like you said, it's going to be a learning curve, but a season in which there's a lot of optimism, correct?
I think so. I mean, this thing has gone from a Panther standpoint, Bill, it's gone from, you know, here comes 2-14. Maybe let's not try to win many games. Let's make sure we get a high pick, get the quarterback to the future. But that all changed with the signing of Teddy Bridgewater to the 3-year deal. Now, This owner, David Tepper, whose risk tolerance is well known, this brand, this little Southern team that we got here, the Carolina Panthers, that has global aspirations of spreading the gospel and being in some of the places that the Green Bay Packers have been. Now it's got a chance, and it'll be so much fun to see it play out.
Mick, I always appreciate it. I'm glad you got a new house. You got a project going on. Stay safe, and we'll enjoy the call all throughout the football season, if indeed we have one, my friend.
You're the best, brother, and I'm throwing all my delegates behind you for the fan popularity contest.
I appreciate it, Mick, and we will talk again soon, my friend, okay?
Sounds good, Bill. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. Talk to you later. Mick Mixon, the voice of the Carolina Panthers. Fantastic guy. We certainly appreciate his time, and he joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been doing it. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. That is 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Hang in there. Going to get to your phone calls for those of you that are on hold. That is next in the Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
But if my friends ask where you are, I'm gonna say
she went down in an airplane, flying, getting suntan, fell in a cement mixer full of quicksand. Help me, help
Welcome
me.
Back to the program. Hey, Traeger Grills are the official grill of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. You can grab your grill plus the service and everything. They're willing to help you. They can bring it to you. They can have it ready for you when you get there. Wauwatosa Ace Hardware, Germantown Ace Hardware, South Milwaukee Ace Hardware, and Harry's Ace Hardware in Franklin. And just tell them the Big Unit sent you, and it is fantastic. I am looking forward to it. I've got a big ribeye steak. I might throw that on there tonight. Otherwise, I'm going to do some Traeger grilling tomorrow, but today it's a little bit nicer weather out, so I'm kind of contemplating that, but I've been studying. I've been watching some of the videos on the Traeger grill, so I'm going to get out there and use that thing. Let's do this. We've got, by the way, coming up after the top of the hour, Wade Phillips, the longtime NFL coach, co-author of Son of Bum, Lessons My Dad Taught Me About Football and Life. He is going to be joining us after the top of the hour, so make sure you stay tuned for that, because that is going to be that should be pretty special. Looking forward to that. Let's do this. Let's go to Derek, listening to us in Albany, New York. Derek, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, Bill, when I'm not in Albany, I'm in Schenectady listening to you working part-time. I want to thank you for what you do. I would say that what you guys do, it's when we get to know you, when we get to listen to you most days and we're familiar with everything, we can hear the inflection in your voice. It's like having a friend right in the room with you. It's like having friends that you know together, and that's what makes really good radio, and you certainly have that. Hey, I wanted to make a recommendation, Bill, real quickly for those who want to binge watch or people who really love football. I don't know if you've ever seen this, Bill, but I've seen a ton of football in my life, and I'm not going to go down that road with you. Take a long time. I'm 62 years old. I've been involved in it for a long time on different levels. The best, underlying the best documentary series I have ever seen, and I've seen tons of them, and NFL films, I'm a volume of it. The best series I've ever seen is called Full Color Football. It's the history of the American Football League. At 62 years old, Bill, I was growing up, you know, in the 60s, and they'd have Charlie Jones, you know Charlie, from when he was, yep, you know, a great announcer, my favorite of all time, and Kurt Gowdy. You know, the early games would be the NFL games, and then in the afternoon they'd put the AFL games on. I became my second favorite team to the Packers is the Chargers because of that, and I got to know the AFL. So at my age, seeing this series, it's called Full Color Football. Folks, look this up. You can find it on YouTube. You'll be if you love NFL history, and I think for people who are maybe between 50 and 70, Bill, it might have more relevance, but anybody can appreciate this. It's so, so well done, Bill. I mean, they talk about, you know, the influence of the Kennedy assassination in the early 60s, and then there's an episode three that talks about it's called War and Peace. It's the watershed of the contract, the new contract with NBC. There's a one that's called Revolution amidst the backdrop of heavy upheaval in American society, and about the AFL. The Final Frontier talks about the merger. And the highlights are fantastic. You got the Heidi game on. You got Namath. You got all this. It's funny. It's engaging. It's called Full Color Football. It is the best I have ever seen.
I will definitely look it up. You said it's on YouTube, right?
Oh yeah, it's beautifully okay. done, Bill. Beautifully.
And, awesome. Full Color Football. I'll look it up tonight.
And I will get back to you. I listen a lot, and I just want to say a lot of your audience would have the same sentiment as I. When you get to know the people on the radio by listening to them every day, we feel like you're right in the room with us, and that keeps us close.
No, man, I appreciate it, and thanks for listening to us in Albany and Schenectady and all the places up there on the East Coast. I certainly appreciate it, man. Thanks, Derek. And I'm definitely going to watch it. I'm going to watch that. I'm going to look it up tonight, as a matter of fact. That's one of my to-do lists now. Real quick, let's go to Tom, listening to us in Stillwater, Minnesota. Tom, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. What's going on, man?
Hey, Bill. I got a quick question regarding free agent signings.
Yeah.
You know, there's been some talk of someone like Ndamukong Suh and those kinds of profile players, but you know, I'm just wondering, you know, how that fits in the locker room. If you look at who they're signing, you know, Mercedes coming back. I think they want to bring Tremont back. This linebacker they signed out of Cleveland. I mean, doesn't Clay Matthews kind of fit into that similar vein where, you know, he can hopefully contribute and also add some stability to the locker room? Just wonder what your thoughts were on that. Thank you.
Well, appreciate the phone call. We talked a little bit about that the other day. It's if you could get him at the right price and put him in the middle, he's not going to unseat Za'Darius or Preston Smith, okay, as an outside rusher. But if you could get him to buy into just being a middle linebacker at a cheap price to where he plays situationally, that might be a way to go. But that's the only way you bring him back. Because, like I said, I mean, he would be a backup plan, the opposite to Za'Darius or Preston Smith, in case one of those two guys got injured. But what you would be looking for is, if you are going to pay him, return back to the Green Bay Packers would be, hey, you're going to go back to playing in the middle. And, you know, in coverage and such, can you handle that? And that would be the area that I would be talking about. Stay tuned. Going to be talking with Wade Phillips, longtime NFL coach, coming up next.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.